Would you please stand with me as we hear the words from our Lord for our meditation this evening? Please, let's stand together and hear these words. We hear some words from Isaiah chapter 9. A light has dawned. A light has dawned on the people, and they have seen it in the darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Let's be seated and study these words together. Well, my dear friends who come with me to bend the knee at our Savior's manger, do I do enough good? Notice what I asked myself, not am I a good person, but do I do enough good? That's a question that I actually ask myself fairly often, and I ask myself that question in particular for two reasons. First of all, because I get asked pretty often, you know, what's peace about? What are you guys trying to accomplish? What good things are you trying to do for our community? What good are you hoping to provide for people? So I have to think about it. And the other response or the other thing I get from people sometimes is a little bit of a more critical or a skeptical comment. You know, some people will say, oh, churches, they spend a lot of money on buildings and they spend a lot of money on programs for themselves and the things that they like and that keep them happy. And what good are they doing for their cities? What good are they doing for other people? It seems like maybe they're spending all of their money and time and energy and effort on themselves. And I have to think about how I answer that too. So if you're a person who has wanted to ask me, you know, what good are we doing? Or if those questions have maybe been on your mind, or if you don't even think about those questions, but now you hear them and say, hey, you're right, that is a good question. Well, you got me thinking. I'm thinking about it. And I think about it at Christmas time, probably a little bit more than any other time of the year. I think about it at Christmas time because, well, part of the Christmas message is do good. Right? Give to the poor, care for the poor and the needy among you. We prayed it in the beginning of the prayers this evening because it's right and good as our Lord has cared for the poor that we would do the same. So I think about it at Christmas time a little bit. And I think about it at Christmas time too because one of the things that Christians can be good at sometimes, whether we mean to or not, is putting a nice veneer over the reality of life. And what do I mean by that? Well, I love kids, you know, I love kids as much as anybody else, and I love their little shepherd outfits and the little angel outfits that they put on and the little pageants that they do for us. I think they're wonderful and adorable, and I love how excited they get about all the presents and the gifts, and I love how they're probably sitting there thinking, I really wish he would talk faster so we could get out of here and go open some presents. And, you know, I love all the things about them, but do I really think that those things make up for all the things that have happened to kids this year, all the terrible things? Maybe we put a veneer over the realities? You know, and I like Christmas cards a lot. I love Christmas cards, right? I got My desk has Christmas cards, and when I get more Christmas cards, then I'm going to start putting them up on my walls, and I decorate my walls with Christmas cards. I mean, why go buy paintings, right, when you just get lots of cards that you can put up? And so I love them, but do I really think that some nice words in those Christmas cards cover up all of the terrible things that we might say in the course of a year, and not just us, but everybody? I mean, does that really cover over all of the realities? See, maybe if you're one of those people that's a little bit more skeptical about this whole Christmas thing, you think, you know, you got the trees and the lights and the presents and all of these nice things. And yet, you know, I don't know if all of that's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But what I do know is we should be doing some good, because there's an awful lot of bad stuff in this world, and are we maybe just putting a veneer over reality? Got me thinking. And then I realized that Christmas actually makes us see reality. Part of Christmas makes us see the darkness. That's actually what Isaiah said. He said, the people walking in darkness. Now, you realize what Isaiah is talking about when he says that. See, this is what reality was for the people of Isaiah's time. The up-and-coming nation at that time was a country called Assyria. And they lived just to the north and the east of where, north and east of where Jesus would eventually be born. And if you don't do cardinal directions, you can find a map later and ask somebody. So he lived just to the north and east. And now this country was famous for its ability to lay siege to cities. And we've got some records that tell us that during the time of Isaiah, about that time, they laid siege to about 591 cities in the area around where Jesus would eventually be born. And it says that they basically turned them into mounds of dirt as if the flood had come. That's how what the darkness was for this time. And this same nation would eventually lay siege to the capital city in the region, a city called Damascus, and they would surround it for 45 days, trapping the people in there like birds in a cage. That's how the records go. And while they ruined the orchards around the city. And that was reality for the time when Isaiah was talking about these people in darkness. Fast forward a couple hundred years, you know, what was reality like for the time when the early followers of Jesus were trying to figure out how to celebrate Christmas, right? Was it like us and trees and lights and these fancy things? Reality for them was that the emperor at the time, Emperor Nero, had sent his general called Vespasian into the region around where Jesus would be born. And they were just rolling over city after city after city. They took a couple thousand people and added them to the slave economy of the ancient world. And then General Vespasian went on all the way down to the city of Jerusalem. He laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. He surrounded it for 7 months. About 1 million people ended up dying, and 200,000 to 300,000 people were sent into the slave economy of the ancient world. See, that was reality during the ancient days. That was reality when Christmas came to light. And now we put up Christmas trees. We put lights on them. They're beautiful. I love them. So it makes me wonder, could this, all of that beauty, could that be real? Can that be real and true and good in a world with such harsh reality? Can these lights be real? And can they be real for you? Can you love them? See, I know how rough your life like mine can be sometimes. If you come to me and tell me, this is all the stuff that's going on in my life, I'm not going to say, well, that doesn't sound so bad, you know, just suck it up, it'll be okay. That's not going to be me. In fact, I'm probably going to be the guy who says, wow, I'm really sorry to hear that. It sounds like you're going through an awful lot, and you're going to say, oh, it's not that bad, and I'm going to say, no, actually, it really is. Many people have been surprised at how serious I am willing to take your life. It's because I know what sin wants to do to you. It will take everything from you and leave nothing behind, and it's glad to do that. It's glad to destroy you if it has its way with you. What Isaiah says, though, is also part of the reality. We need to hear what he says. He says, to those people living in darkness, what has happened? They have seen a great light, and a light has dawned. Isaiah says a light is starting to come up, and it's like it's dawn. And now, you know dawn. Dawn is that last bit of time right before all of the darkness of the night passes, except there's still some shadows over there and over there, aren't there? And those shadows, even those shadows sometimes can be a little bit terrifying. Isaiah knows that the shadows are still around, but they are just shadows. In his next sentence, he's going to go on, and he says, on those living in the land of shadows, those are living in the land of shadows. And in fact, the Bible in another place in Psalm 23 says that we are walking in the shadow of death. So yeah, the life is full of hard things, but maybe they're just shadows. See, one time a pastor was, his wife contracted a serious form of cancer, and within a few weeks she passed. He went with his pre-teenage children to the funeral, and at the funeral they read Psalm 23 and said, Mom's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So that day in the car on the way to the burial, the daughter asked Dad and said, Dad, what does it mean that Mom was walking in the shadow of death? What does that mean? And Dad thought about it for a moment. And just at that moment, a big semi passed them, and the sun was shining at just the right place that a shadow from the semi fell on the car. Dad thought for another moment, and he said, Sweetheart, would you rather get hit by that semi or get hit by the shadow of the semi? She said, well, of course, Dad, I'd rather get hit by the shadow of the semi. And Dad said, Jesus was hit by the semi of your mom's death so that you'd just get hit by the shadow. See, Jesus got hit by the truck of our darkness. He got hit by the shame. He got hit by the condemnation. He got hit by the rejection. The Bible says, Isaiah says in another place, that the punishment of our sin was on him. He was hit by the abandonment. He felt so alone on the cross that he cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was so hit by it that he was buried into a tomb. But that death would not win. Darkness was not going to take over light, and he rose out of that tomb to bring life and immortality to light. And all that's left for us is the shadows. It's true that sometimes we walk through hard things, but they are just shadows. Even if it's hard to walk in the shadows. And now, what you need to know is that, yes, you might be walking through the shadows, but if you're one of these people that says, you know, I'm not sure about this Christmas stuff, it's nice, and the trees are nice, and the presents are nice, and the lights are nice, and the gifts are nice, all those things are nice, but I'm not sure if it's true. I'm not sure if it's good, if I'm not sure if it's real. If you're a person that says that, then you need to know there's a difference for you. God loves you. Jesus has still died for you, and you are still living in the shadows, just like all the rest of us. But the difference is this, that if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord, then the shadows that you live in will someday turn back to darkness. We can all live in the light, though. We can live in the light. That's the other reality of of Christmas. That's what Christmas wants to tell us. Along with the darkness, it has been turned into shadows, and you and I can live in the light. God sent his one and only Son to be light, and he did not send him as a prince, but as a baby. He sent him as a baby, as a child, so that you can see him and know him. And who wouldn't want to know a baby? Not only that, God sent him to Zebulun and Naphtali, the most out-of-the-way places, the most inconsequential. That's small town of small town in the ancient world. And on top of that, the first people to see that child were not princes and presidents and governors. They were shepherds. Shepherds were considered by many in the ancient world kind of like criminals because they let their sheep eat the grass from other people. And it was those people who got to see Jesus first. And so it doesn't matter how low, how bad, how simple, how lost you think you are. It doesn't matter. This light, the light of Jesus, is for you. This is a light that is so beautiful and so wonderful, it can break the power of any addiction, sex and drugs and otherwise. This is a light that is more profound, more meaningful than the greatest wisdom and insight and truth and principles, and it will shed light on every aspect of your life. This is a light that is so deep, so rich, that it will thaw your hard heart and bring you back to life. It will take away your numbness. This is a light that can be yours. It can be yours. You simply say to Jesus, I have nothing. My hands are empty and I want your light. He doesn't want your resumes, your references, your checkbook, your prestige, your importance. He doesn't need any of that. It's not hard to get him. You come to him with empty hands and say, I need your light in my life. And when his light is your light, then this light is real light. How's that for you, huh? Catch that, right? When his light is your light, then this light is real light. See, all of this light can be true and real and good for all of us. And it's when his light is your light, then it will be. And you know when this dawned on me and when I really started to realize it is when we were in China. Because when we were in China, Chinese don't celebrate Christmas, right? Christmas is not their thing. They don't have Christmas parties. You know how the Chinese celebrate Christmas is they go karaoke-ing. That's what they do. They go and party with their friends. So that was kind of Christmas for us. And it was always nice when the big Chinese international stores started to put up the Christmas trees and put out the decorations, but it only happened a couple weeks before Christmas, and nobody else really got it. You know, the Chinese, they would not give gifts and all of this kind of thing like we did. It was really nice then to start to see our Chinese friends try to get into Christmas and adopt some of those things as their own. But it didn't mean anything to them. They weren't real. They weren't true. They just did them because they thought, oh, this is sort of fun. And look, the foreigners do it, so why don't we do it? And what we loved, what was real and true and good for us, is the little Christmas tree that was really shabby in our dorm rooms. We lived in a dorm, and we had a tiny little Christmas tree and just a few lights and a few presents underneath it. And that Christmas tree meant everything to us because it was real. It was true. It was what we wanted because we believed in everything it meant. And when you have the light of Jesus in you, then all of these lights are true and real and good. And wouldn't that be something wonderful to know again this Christmas? Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, the darkness of light, of life, the reality of the shadows can sometimes seem to overwhelm us. And so we pray that your light would once again come to life. Bring it to life in front of us, that we might receive you and the light that you seek to give us. We might love you for it, and we might then appreciate the goodness and the beauty that is your true light. Make all these lights in front of us, the Christmas presents, the trees, and all of the wonderful things that you've given us, real for us once again, because you are the real light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join then together, respond and sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.